5 and verse 18. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Alrighty, Mark chapter 5. Get your finger there, and then also we want to turn to Luke. Luke chapter 8. 38 and 39, Luke chapter 8. Okay now, Mark chapter 5, verse 18 through 20. Mark chapter 5, verse 18 through 20. It says, "And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus has done for him, and all men did marvel." Now let's turn to Luke chapter 8. In verse 38, "And now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house and shew how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that you've preserved your inspired, infallible, inerrant Word in the King James Bible. Father, bless this time on thy Word, Father, as we expound upon the Scriptures. Help me to speak clearly and only the things you should have me to say. Father, most of all, we pray that your Son would be glorified, and we pray if there'd be anyone that's not saved, that's lost on their way to hell, Lord, that they'd be saved this very day. And we'll remember to give you all the honor and glory for whatever you'll choose to do this day. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This morning we're going to look at a double testimony for Christ. The two accounts, we read one in Matthew and one in Luke, are familiar, probably all familiar with the account of what's known, commonly known as the demoniac of Gadara, who was healed by Jesus, our Lord. We know some things about this. If we were to read the account of the demoniac of Gadara, we would know that he was a man who had an unclean spirit in him, number one. He had an unclean spirit. He also, we were told, he dwelt among the tombs. He dwelt among things where we think of dead people being laid, you know, cemeteries. That's where he lived. He hung out in the cemetery, basically. We also told in the accounts of the demoniac of Gadara that he wore no clothes. He went around naked. He had no clothes on him. And another interesting thing about this man is no man could bind him. No man could bind him. In fact, we were told there were times when he was bound that he broke out of the chains and fetters that they had him bound by. He was a man of unrest. He was a man of unrest because we were told that he cried day and night, day and night. He was in continual torment, this young man. He was also, we're told, he cut himself with stones. He was into self-mutilation. And we know that the name of the unclean spirit in this man was Legion, because there were many of them, many of them. And Jesus cast out the devils from this man, we were told, and they cast him out into a herd of swine, who went down a steep place into the water and were choked or drowned. So we see the scenario now about this man. We know many things about this man, that he was a demoniac of Gadara. But we don't want to necessarily focus in those things that we know about this man. This morning we want to focus in on the instructions that Jesus gave this man after he was healed. After he was healed. We will see how as Christians we can learn this morning. We can see how as Christians you and I are to have a double testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. We know in scriptures we're told, over in Matthew 18, we know in testifying that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. So you need at least two witnesses. So we're going to see that we need to have a double testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. First of all, we started out in Matthew chapter 5, and let's read there again. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 19, we want to look at the instructions that Jesus gave that man. Now look at in verse 19 what Jesus said. And it says in verse 19 of Mark chapter 5, howbeit, it says, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. So his instructions were, number one, to go. To go, not sit around, not to stay with him, but to go, to leave, to go home to thy friends. And number two, we see the action verb, go, and then we see the other action verb, tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. So Jesus tells this man basically to go and tell. Go and tell. So number one, Christian, this morning, our lips this morning are to testify of Christ for the great things he hath done for us, and how Jesus Christ has had compassion on us. We are to go and tell. We are, number one, to give folks our testimony of how and where and when Jesus saved us. You know, that's one thing man can confute about the Bible. And they can contend about, well, man wrote that book and everything else. But we know that God wrote the Bible, the King James Bible, amen. He preserved his inspired word in the King James Bible. But your testimony, your personal testimony of how what God did in your life, what Jesus Christ did in your life, no man can take away. No man can refute that. Because only you were there at that time. Did you ever notice when Paul the Apostle, later on in the book of Acts, when he was taken before Felix and Festus and the Jews, how he expounded greatly his testimony and how he was saved? He gave that account on the road to Damascus as he was going with letters to persecute the Jews and bring them back. He gave his testimony of when that was, where that was, how it happened. And you know what? No one could refute it. No one, if you read that portion of his, when he'd get up and give his testimony, no one would say, that's not true, Paul. They'd get in his face when he started preaching the scriptures to him. Okay? But no one could get in Paul's face and say, well, none of that ever happened, Paul. You know, none of that ever happened to you. No one could do that. You and I, if you're saved, if you're born again, which is the same thing, if you're a Christian this morning, there was a time in your life when you weren't. And there was a time in your life, one day, one moment in time, not over a period of time, that you met Jesus for the first time in your life. That you came head on, okay, face to face, with the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. The Messiah, the Christ, the Lord, Jesus Christ. The day that you bowed your knee and you bowed your head, and if you knew that you're a sinner, hellbound because of your sin. But that day, through faith, you accepted his penalty, his shed blood at Calvary to save you for your sins. You have that. If you don't have that, then maybe you're not saved today. Being saved, being born again, is not a process. It is an event. It took place a time in time, an event. You were somewhere. There was a specific date, whatever it may be, but it happened. It was an event. If you're saved, if you're born again, that's why it's so important. The day that you get saved is to remember that. To remember that day and place it in your heart, Christian. Because the devil will come. The devil will come and say, well, you're not saved. You're not saved. Yes, I am. And you can say and show the devil out of this book what it says. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I did this November or December 4th, which is today, 1994. It's a day to remember. You know, I remember one of our presidents, Franklin Delano Roosevelt said about the day that Pearl Harbor was bombed. It's a day that would go down in infamy. We're coming against to the anniversary of that date pretty soon this week. But the day that you got saved is a day that will go down in infamy. Because that day, if you don't have it marked down, that's the day that heaven became your home. You switched hell for a home, a destiny, to heaven for a destiny. So just like Jesus instructed this demoniac of Gadara to go and tell his personal testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what you and I are to do. And we're also to tell people, for example, not only when we got saved or how we got saved, and so forth and so on, but how our life was before Jesus Christ came into it. How our life was before Jesus Christ came into it. And how it is now. There should be a difference. There should be a difference. You should be able to tell them how you are, as the Bible says, a new creature in Christ. Behold, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things have become new. Old things have passed away. Old things should have passed away in your life. You should be able also to tell people how that you have a joy, as the Bible says, a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Before I got saved, I didn't have a joy. I didn't have a peace. I didn't have a comfort. I was like a scared little mouse when that mouse sees that cat and it runs into its hole. I was afraid because I didn't know where I would go to if I were to die. There was a period in a time in my life I was afraid to fall asleep because I didn't know that I'd get up in the morning. You know, I'd wake up and go to sleep, basically. I'd wake up and go to sleep, you know. I'd find myself dozing off, and I'd wake up, and finally I fell asleep, amen. But you can tell people also, as the scriptures say, how you have a peace now that passeth all understanding, that Paul the Apostle wrote in the fourth chapter of Philippians. You didn't have a peace like you. If you have Jesus, if you are saved this morning, you have a peace that passes all understanding. Because you know, number one, you're no longer an enemy of God. And number two, you know where you're going to go when you die. What a great peace. You don't have to fear death now. And that you can go through any trial and any tribulation and know that God's going to work it for your good, because he says it in his word. So you have a peace. You can testify of the peace that you have that passes all understanding. And you can tell people, hey, listen, I've got a personal relationship now that I've never had. I have a personal relationship with the Father of mercies. That's what God, Paul described him as the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. You have all the mercies that you need now, all the comfort that you'll ever need through Jesus Christ. You can also shout for joy that you have a home in heaven this morning. You can testify now that you can take them over to John chapter 14 and show them Jesus has prepared a place for me. It's called heaven. It's called heaven. And he's given me a mansion in heaven. Amen. And you can take them over to the book of Revelations and show them. Not only do I have a mansion in heaven, but I'm going to walk on streets of gold. Praise God. You can testify of all these things. You can testify of all these things. You can tell them how you are no longer an enemy of God. You're no longer an enemy of God. Remember that show that was on years back, The Fugitive? The Fugitive. They were always hunting this man. That's what Cain was. Remember Cain? Cain slayed Abel, or slew Abel. And he's described as a vagabond, as a fugitive and a vagabond. That's what you and I were before we came to know Jesus Christ. And you can tell someone that. I'm no longer a fugitive and a vagabond. I'm a child of God. I have been reconciled, or peace. I've made peace with God, the Father, through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can tell people, you can testify to people. There's a lot to tell them, see? We don't think about it. There's a lot to tell people. How you are a child of God now. A son of God. A son of God. You can tell them, as it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power, Jesus was given power, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You're born of God now. You've been spiritually born. You've been adopted. God has adopted you. And because he's adopted you, the Bible tells us, through the Spirit of God, we can call out, Abba, Father. We can call up to him, Father, when you're going through a difficult time. You have eternal life. You can't lose your salvation. You can testify of that. You can't lose it because the Bible tells us, because you have been sealed by the Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. You have the Holy Spirit of God inside you that sealed you. See, before we are saved, we were like the demoniac of Gadara. We were out of control. We were out of control. We were out of control. You know, the Bible, see, the reason man doesn't like the Bible, because it's negative about man. That's why man does not like the Bible, and they want to change it around and change different things around. But before we were saved, the Bible tells us we were dead, first of all, in trespasses and sins. And number two, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You walked, in other words, after the things of this world, the course of this world. Whatever the world had to offer, you did it. It was great. You accepted whatever it is. You know, whatever philosophy life came with, you know, whatever it may be. You know, we have to give the homosexuals more rights. That's fine. Let's do it. Because the world said it's okay to do. You know? It's all right. You know, it's all right to have a, you know, an extramarital affair. It's not really adultery. It's an extramarital affair. So you bought it. You know, everything that life gave us, the course of the world, you followed it. It was great. That's how you were. And you also walked according to the power of the air, the prince of the power of the air, Satan. He's the one that makes up all the courses for people to eat in life. You know, if we think about that, he lays out that 10-course meal for us to partake in. He blinds our eyes from the truth of the gospel. This is how we were. We were like that demoniac of Gadara. We did not worship God the Father. Satan was our father. That's what Jesus, boy, they didn't like Jesus because he was very blunt at times. You know, he'd take the religious crowd and say, if you're not of God the Father, if you're not of me, you know, you're a generation of vipers. He'd call them snakes. And we know that Satan's a snake that he goes around on his belly. He says, you're of your father, the devil, who was a murderer and a liar from the beginning. That's who we were all part of. But we can testify. We can testify of these things with our lips. So we see then, just like the demoniac of Gadara, we have a before and after picture. You know, you see, I think of before and after pictures when you have these companies, these weight loss companies. You know, they'll put on someone that's, you know, 300 pounds, and they went, and then they're like 150 pounds now, and they look gorgeous, and you know, they're you know, you never know it's the same person. But that's like you and I were, before and after picture. You know, children of disobedience, following the course of the world, following after the prince of the power of the air. Christian, do your lips testify of Christ? Have you, like the demoniac of Gadara was told, do you go and tell? Tell your friends, tell your families, tell your co-workers what Jesus did for you, how he saved you, how he saved you. Okay? and how he wants to save them. How he saved you, he died for your sins, and how he died for their sins and wants to save them. We just read in Mark chapter 5, it says in Mark chapter 5, all men marveled. All men marveled. In chapter 5 of Luke, in Mark chapter 5, in verse 20, we are told about this man that the demoniac of Gadara now that was in his right mind, and he was told to go and tell by Jesus. It says, and he departed. He went. Jesus, he was obedient to the Lord. He departed, and he began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. When he spoke of the things that Jesus did for him, people marveled. They listened to him. Let me ask you, do you testify of Christ, number one? And when you do all men marvel when they listen to your testimony? Or do they marvel when you talk to people about yourself? You know, how great I am and how I did this and how I did that. Do they marvel at that? Or maybe, you know, well, I went to this play and you go on and on about it. Or we went out to eat and we went here and we go on and on about it. Or, you know, you're into this or you're into that. Do they marvel at that? Or do they marvel at what Jesus did for you? How he saved you? And so forth and so on. See, it says in Mark chapter 5, verse 20, that this man published what Jesus did. He published what he did. Well, that could mean anything. He published with his lips. Maybe he wrote letters. Maybe he published a book. Maybe he had something in the local Gensetaret Gazette. That's where it was, Gensetaret Gazette. Maybe he wrote something, an article in there or something. But he published. See, he published it. He let it be known. See, many Christians are like the Arctic rivers, frozen at the lips. Where lips are frozen when it comes to talking about Jesus Christ and telling him what he did for us. Our lips are frozen. You know, we're great about testifying about something else. See, he didn't keep it a secret. He published it, he broadcasted it, he got excited about it. You know, Jesus said, this man said, I want to go with you and be with you, Jesus. But see, Jesus said, no, your job for me, to serve me, is to go and tell. To go and tell. Not to be part of the in crowd there, you know, to be part of the crowd that followed him. But to be a disciple somewhere else in your hometown. See, Jesus may not call everyone to be a missionary. He may just call you. You know, people say, oh, if I call me, I got to go over to this foreign land. They don't have running water. I got to use the outhouse and all of this. You know what? Sometimes he takes it easy on you, right? Sometimes he takes it easy on you and he says, all I want you to do is stay right where you are, Christian, and go and tell. He makes it easy on you. You don't have to give up, you know, the warm bed and the running water and the toilet inside and so forth and so on. And the car and everything else. He sometimes takes it easy on you. He says, all I want you to do is go and tell. You don't have to change anything. Just stay where you are, but go and tell and testify of me with your lips. What I've done for you. Go and tell. You know, Christian, most of us blow that. When all we're told is to stay where we are and go and tell. You know, he doesn't want to take us over across the seas or across the country or somewhere else. But he just wants you to stay where you are and go and tell what he has done for you. But boy, do we blow it. We testify about everything else. You know, how this is great and how that is great. Amen. So number one this morning, a point that we want to make is that as Christians, our first testimony is to go and tell with our lips. So we're to testify with Christ of our lips. Look at now in Luke chapter 8, verse 39 with me. We want to read that. Luke chapter 8, 39, it says,
Jesus sent him away in verse 30, in 38, saying, "Return to thine house and show how great things God hath done unto thee." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Now we want to notice again the two action verbs. Last time it was go and tell. Jesus tells them here to return and show. Return and show. And in other words, not only was this man to testify of Jesus with his lips, but also with his life. As Christians, you and I are to do the same exact thing. We are not only to witness for the Lord with our lips, but also with our life. You know, it's fine to talk a good game. You know, people come into church and they talk spiritual and everything else, blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, and to talk a good game with the unsaved, but the thing is this, does your walk back up your talk? That's what we're talking about. You know, put your money where your mouth is. You know, it's a great to witness for Christ with your lips. But what kind of a testimony, a message are we giving when in one breath, Jesus Christ died for your sins, in the next breath, blowing out that cigarette smoke? What kind of a testimony is it? Really? Seriously? Or how about when we witness for Christ, number one, and then we get angry with someone and blow our cool on the second breath? Or how about when we witness for Christ in one breath, you know, and then, you know, you're sipping down a cool one, and then you do big bulk, you know, after you witness for Christ, you had your cool one. Christ died for your sins, you know. Or you witness for Christ and you're living in sin. You know, you're committing adultery or fornication or whatever. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 14 says a couple of things about Christians. We are number one to be salt of the earth. Okay? Salt, we know, is retards decay. It was a preservative. And in some ways, we're to be the world's preservatives from keeping it from getting through decay because of our testimony and our witness and so forth and so on. And if we ain't doing it, no one else is doing it. You know, and we're to take the light. We're the light of the world. We're not to take our what Jesus has done for us and hide it under a bushel basket and put it under a bed. We're to stand out with the Word of God, which is a lamp. Which is a lamp. This thing is a lamp under my feet and a light unto my path. And shine that light on. And that's how we do it with our life. You know, how effective would I be to you? You know, I get up here and I preach on something and I'm not doing it. Hey, if he's not doing it, why should I do it? So when you go and you talk to someone about Jesus Christ and your life doesn't reflect it, you're just a hypocrite. Hey, don't get me wrong, you're going to fall, Christian. You know, you're going to sin. Right? But we're doing some things that we know we shouldn't be doing. And we're doing them in the open, and we're proud of them, we're rebellious, and we really don't care. Well, God's going to have to deal with you. Paul talked about things that we need to be doing in his epistles. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. He talks about how there should be changes in our lives. Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, he starts out in verse number 1. He says then, Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ," okay? He says, "Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above and not on the things on the earth." So his premise is number one, if ye be risen, In other words, when you are saved, you've been born again spiritually. You're risen with Christ. Your old nature, your flesh is nailed to that cross with Jesus Christ. So if you have been risen with Christ, things should happen, man. Look it. He starts out in verse 5. He says, mortify. Mortify. Mort. Dead. Kill. Mortify, therefore, your members, your flesh. In other words, which are upon the earth. This is what the flesh would like you to do. He says, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication. Your flesh, your old nature, likes to fornicate. It's a fornicator. It's an adulterer. Uncleanness. Likes to get in things that are unclean. Not dirty plates and dishes, but unclean things. Inordinate affection. Evil concupiscences. And covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Let me tell you today, if you're getting into these things, you're only going to get away with them so long, because the Bible tells us the wrath of God is coming, and it's coming soon. It says, in the which ye also walked some time when you lived in them. Christian, if you be risen with Christ, he says, in the which ye also walked, those things that he talked about, those things before you were risen, you walked in them. If you're risen with Christ, then you should not be walking in those things. In verse 8, he talks about, Paul says, but now ye also put off all these. Anger. Hey, we all get angry. Anger. Wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. How can you witness for Christ in one breath, man, and tell a dirty joke on the other breath? You can't. You can't be a witness for Christ. Look at verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. That's what your old nature does. All those things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. You know, G this, GD this, and GD that. You know, that's what we're talking about. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Lying. Oh, do we love to do that. They should put up signs, you know, like hunting in season, you know, out of season, lying out of season. They should put them up around. In verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, Christ is all and in all. So we're told to put off all those things like clothes. Put these things off. And then he says, put these on. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. How can you witness for Christ and then blow a fuse at someone? You know, forbearing one another, long suffering. You know, every time, if God get mad at you, every time we get mad at someone, boy, we wouldn't be around here for too long. Let's face it. Forbearing one another. And then he says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. You know what I love about that word charity, and that's what it is. It's not love. I like to change it. Love. Charity is love in action to me. It speaks about giving. Giving of self, giving of time, giving of resources. Our life, not only our lips, in other words, is to testify of Jesus Christ. people should be able to look at you as they could look at the demoniac of Gadara and see how Jesus has changed your life as he did the man possessed of devils. See, they knew that man before. They could see him outwardly. We said he cried day and night. He was in torment. He wore no clothes or anything. But that man had completely changed. That man had completely changed. Before, we see him. They cried day and night. He was tormented. He wore no clothes before Jesus. But in Mark chapter 5 and verse 15, it says, and they come to Jesus, and to see him that was possessed. They heard about that. There was this man possessed of devils that Jesus healed. They came to see it. And had the legion, okay, now it says, and they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting, number one. He was no longer running around and crying, He was sitting, number one. Clothed, number two. He had clothes on. And in his right mind, number three. Sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. They could see a difference in this man's life outwardly that Jesus had done. People should be able to not only hear with your lips, but see outwardly in your life what Jesus has done for you. What do people see when they watch you? Do they see the old man, the old nature, or do they see the new man, the new nature? Do they see you walking in the flesh or walking in the spirit, producing the fruits of the spirit? Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Fruits of the Spirit. Do they see these, or do they see, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy, envying, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such alike of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Do they see those things, the work of the flesh, or do they see you producing the fruits of the Spirit? Do you return? Have you returned and shown through your life what you've learned from Jesus? Do people see what you've learned from Jesus? Ephesians this morning, chapter 4, and verse 17 says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. The mind is vanity. It's nothing, okay? Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Notice it says in verse 21, if you have heard Jesus and have been taught by him, then in verse 22 we're told, it tells us that you'll put off the former conversation, the old ways, you'll put off the old man. You will be renewed in the spirit of the mind, and you will be put on the new man. See, it doesn't mean getting cleaned up for a while. See? You know, turning over a new leaf that everybody does. And, you know, it's funny, when you come to the new, we're going to be coming to New Year's pretty soon, and New Year's resolutions, and everybody turns over a new leaf. Well, that new leaf doesn't usually stay turnover maybe for a couple of days, maybe 2 minutes or whatever. So it doesn't mean getting cleaned up for a while. It means change that only Jesus can bring. Do people see this in your life? If you are truly born again, then people should see the outward testimony for Christ through your life. Paul tells us, and I'll be closing with this. Paul tells us over in Romans chapter 13 and in verses 11 through 14. Romans 13 verse 11. In that knowing the time that now it is high time to wake out of the sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light, and let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Christian, you need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. He's returning someday. And you're going to be ashamed when you hit that judgment seat of Christ. You'll have your salvation. You're not going to hell, you're going to heaven. But you're going to be darn shamed of the lack of your testimony with your lips and with your life for Jesus Christ. Because he's going to give, he's going to reward every man according to his works. Not for salvation, but for rewards, and how either they will or they won't reign and rule with him. This morning, Christian, do you have a double testimony for Jesus Christ? Do you, number one, go and tell with your lips what Jesus has done for you? And number two, have you returned and shown through your life what Jesus has done for you? Christian, if you haven't, you should be ashamed this morning. We are to have a double testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. You should be ashamed of that. If you haven't been doing, you still have time. You still have time to get your act together before the Lord has returned. You still have time to get your heart right with God. We're going to have a time of invitation this morning. If you have not, Christian, been having a double testimony with your lips and your life for Jesus Christ, come here this morning and pray about it. Or pray about anything else you may have in your life. Coming this morning is not an admission that you have sin in your life. Coming here this morning is just saying, I need the Lord. I can't get through it without him. I need to pray to him. We all need that. It's not a sign of, don't let Satan say, if I come to an altar, it's a sign of weakness. It's not for that. You have to humble your sight, humble yourselves in the sight of a holy God, and he shall exalt you and lift you up this morning. And if you're out there this morning, and if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the testimony that the Bible gives us this morning is that your destiny is hell, the lake of fire. There's no signs to tell you hell, the next 5 miles, hell, 10 miles. Hell is real. Hell is real, and that's where you're going. But the great truth of it all, the blessing of it all is that Jesus Christ died for your sins. The gospel of grace. Christ died, number one. He died for our sins, number two. He was buried, number three, and he arose again the third day. That's the gospel. That's the good news. But you're saved by grace through faith. You have to, by faith, accept Jesus Christ and his finished work at Calvary for your salvation. If you've never done that, call upon the name of the Lord. Tell him you're a sinner. You deserve hell today. But you accept his free gift of eternal life, that you're trusting in only his shed blood, not your church membership, not your good works, not your baptism or your confirmation or whatever it may be, but only his shed blood to save you. Tell him you accept him today into your heart as your Lord, as his Lord, your Lord and Savior. And if you can do that and mean it and pray it, then heaven is your home. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we just thank you this morning for the word of God. We thank you for the lesson that we've learned today from the demoniac of Gadara. We've learned how we are to go and tell. Go and tell. A Christian should have a testimony with his lips of what Jesus has done in each and every one of our lives. Not only that, but we are to return and show. We should also go and show through our lives what Jesus has done for us. Not only speak it with our lips.